Welcome to the Hair of the Dog podcast. On today's episode, we are bringing back our favorite, but somehow has been missing guest, Heather Lotnin, and her and I are going to geek out over productivity and all sorts of great little hacks that are going to save you time and make you more productive. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Hair of the Dog podcast. If you're a pet photographer ready to make more money and start living a life by your design, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, pet photographer, travel addict, chocolate martini connoisseur, Nicole Begley.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hair of the Dog podcast. I am your host, Nicole Begley. And you guys, I just looked through the list and I haven't had Heather on the podcast since March. Completely unacceptable.
It's criminal, actually.
So please welcome back my good friend, business productivity ninja bootcamp. I don't know, just all around awesomeness. Heather Lotnin, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me, Nicole. I am feeling, listen, energized, inspired. And you know, that type of energy is actually really contagious. So to everyone listening, you can choose to be inspired and, you know, raise your vibrational energy to excitement, or you can choose to remain hopeless. I mean, that's up to you. The price of gas is really high. I get it. But, you know, I work with one-on-one clients, and when they get off the phone with me, they always say, I have so much energy and I feel so inspired just because of your energy. And I like to bring that to the table here too. Like, I'm really, really excited for everything we're going to be talking about today. So where shall we begin this discussion?
I mean, I don't even know, but I think we should IBTF it.
Yes, we shall. This is great. IBTF. So this is an acronym that I made up, like many things that like happened.
There's no rhyme or reason. It doesn't stand for anything. Well, it stands for something. It doesn't spell anything. There's not like a bigger purpose.
Right. Yeah. I literally took the first letters of the words. But let me give a small backstory. When I'm leading Elevate calls, I always like to open with wins because I like to set the energy high. Like, hey, what's going well for you guys? I wanted to shift that a little bit and have more of a sharing of information where others could benefit other than just celebrating your win. So what I came up with is the IBTF model. When we open an Elevate call, I ask each participant to share either something that is inspiring them. So that's the I, inspiration. B is for book. Are you reading something that you're really enjoying? Does not have to be business related. Could be fiction or nonfiction. The T is for tools. Are you experimenting or learning a new tool that you would like to share? And the F is for frog. And that comes from Brian Tracy's book, Eat That Frog, 21 Great Ways to Stop Procrastinating and Get More Done in Less Time. Super easy, quick read. The premise is eat your frog first thing in the morning. So whatever it is you need to work on, usually it's the thing that you don't want to work on. It's probably what you should be focusing on. So IBTF, again, inspiration, book, tool, and frog. So I thought, Nicole, we would start by working through this together. What has been inspiring you lately?
Oh, well, that's easy. I just got back from the long-awaited Barklander in Scotland. The weather was not inspiring. Actually, we did have a couple beautiful days. And even the one day we ended up shooting in the pouring rain in Glencoe, which is like epic mountains, and it just wouldn't look right if it was sunny. I mean, I could have done without the actual hard rain, but both times we shot in Glencoe, it was like atmospheric. One was raining, one was just atmospheric. It was epic. And then just being able to connect with people in person again, and you know, watching students have breakthroughs throughout the week, and just going home energized, them, myself, all of us. It was fantastic. It was so good to be back.
Yeah, back in person, meeting with people, working. I actually talked to one of your attendees and she said it was the most exhilarating, exhausting, fun, energizing. She said, we went hard and it was great.
We do go hard. And every year we've done this since 2016, since Barcelona, which we're actually doing Barcelona again in October. And every year we're like, oh, we need more white space. And every year we try, but man, we just all just keep going because we love it so much. And we're like, oh, who needs white space when you have dogs to photograph and pet photographers to hang out with?
Right.
So we did, after that first one, all future ones, we've kind of built in an afternoon off where we all go as a group to like various activities. This week we did like a little Highland safari thing. And then we also did ATVing the second week that I went on. And it was so much fun. Mm. I've never ridden an ATV. It was
really
a blast.
Yeah, that's super fun. And yeah. They have tours or something. You just found a company that.
Yeah. We just went up, left like the mountaintop through some sheep fields because we're in Scotland.
Sheep fields. Okay.
And then this was not part of the tour, but we would have paid more for it, but it was included. So talk about a way to blow your client's expectations out of the water. Did you know that not often, but sheep will occasionally have three babies instead of two, but they will only care for two. So there was a whole collection of like 20 orphan lambs that are hand fed that we got to hang out with and pet and were crawling on us and got to love on.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So they're super domesticated because they're used to being around people because they depend on them for their survival.
Right?
You know, I actually did know that. And the reason is because I follow a shepherdess on Instagram.
Of course you do.
She's in Switzerland. So beautiful scenery. And I just enjoy learning about that. And she talks about the lambing season and how difficult it can be if a lamb has three. And then a sheep that has one that dies or two that dies, and they'll like adopt that lamb to that mom. They'll try to get them to work together. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But it's just interesting to watch. So yeah, I can see where that would be super inspiring.
Yeah, that was great. Loved it. All right, how about you?
Oh gosh, I am really inspired lately by summer. You know, sun and warm weather.
Amen.
Yeah, that just really, really elevates my mood. So that's one thing. But another thing is I'm really on this productivity kick. So obviously, I like to be as efficient as possible. And productivity is one of my top five.
A love language. Productivity is your love language.
Right. So I recently just rekindled my love for streamlining. So, and hopefully at some point during this episode, I can share a few things that I've done. But I just get really excited to find better, faster ways. Oh, Charles Duhigg wrote a book, Smarter, Faster, Better. And I read it years ago. Highly, highly recommend. Loved that book. And the thing is, when you get to certain levels in productivity or your business, it actually becomes more difficult to find things to improve. You know what I mean? Like I've done all of the standard easy things to get better. And now I have to dig really deep to find ways to streamline. So I've done this in Lightroom and Photoshop as well with just workflow. And you know this, I have tricked out my Wacom tablet to like run everything. So I set strange goals for myself. Like if I am editing, I don't want to touch the mouse and I try to avoid the keyboard where possible. Limited keyboard exposure, no mouse, only Wacom movement. So you have to start assigning keyboard shortcuts, and then you assign those keyboard shortcuts to buttons on the tablet or on the stylus itself. So I really enjoy doing that. And then when I'm doing things like email or working just in an internet browser, can I do everything with a keyboard shortcut without using the mouse? Like I said, these very bizarre challenges.
We need more hobbies.
That's possible. Maybe now that the weather's nicer, I won't be so crazy about this. You know, maybe I'll get outside, but it is true. It's just, you know, if something really small, like a keyboard shortcut inspires me and then I feel a little bit better. And then I make another good decision. These decisions just compound on one another. And I know this. So I want to leverage the compound effect. So I'll do something really simple. Like I have a new mouse, which I'm going to talk about again in a moment, but I programmed one of the buttons to go between the tabs in Google Chrome. So I don't have to click a tab. I just press the button on my scroll wheel. And it's the keyboard shortcut to advance to the next tab in Chrome. So even if I have like six tabs open, I can just click, 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 you know, just that button and then get to my tab.
That's pretty fancy.
See, this is what I'm saying.
I like
it. Things like that, I become unnaturally excited about. I mean, it is not normal at all, but that's what's inspiring me. Okay.
All right. I love it.
Let's move to book. Have you read anything recently that you've enjoyed?
Yes, I am finishing up Conscious Luck. I realize I've been reading this for a long time. I didn't read a thing my whole 2.5 weeks in Scotland.
You were too busy.
I was too busy. Even on the plane, I was just doing a little work and then I dived into some Netflix. But yeah, so Conscious Luck, Gay Hendricks, one of my favorite authors because he wrote my other favorite book of all time, which was The Big Leap. If you haven't read it, you guys, do not stop, pass go, do not collect $200, like straight 100%, go to Amazon right now, buy it, get it. Conscious Luck is a great follow-up to that one.
I need to pick up that book.
Well, you would love it.
Yeah, you've told me about it a couple of times and I keep meaning to do it. I've just been on an incredible reading kick. And the funny thing is, you actually might want to sit down for this one.
Are you reading fiction?
I am.
What?
I know. It's bizarre. So my daughter's home from college and she's a huge reader. I mean, she'll read a book a day if you let her. And she said, Mom, you got to read this book. Mom, you got to read this book. So she's just stacking up these books for me. So what I'm doing is I'm doing a couple things differently. One is I'm reading more fiction, but I'm reading them at the same time.
Which
used to be like, oh, I'd read this fiction book, then I'd go back to my favorite nonfiction and then back, whatever. But now I'm reading like two or three books at once, which I did not think I would be capable of doing, but I decided to challenge my own limiting beliefs and upper limits. Hello?
Yeah.
And
thanks, Gay Hendricks.
Yeah, totally Gay Hendricks. And it's working. So here's what I do. When I have limited capacity, meaning I am brain dead from the day, I will pick up the fiction book because you can get lost in it.
Right.
When I have a little more brain power and I have the space, I will read my business books. So, okay, that being said, I have three I just want to mention really quickly. One is Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport, which I devoured and decided I need to unplug more. I ran an experiment. I talk about that on my podcast. I believe it's episode 210, Flourish Academy podcast. And it's made a huge difference in my life. So it's funny, Nicole, because today I'm talking about productivity and the things I love about tech. And then I'm talking about unplugging.
All things in moderation.
I recognize the dichotomy there. I do. It's quite funny. Okay. The next one, you and I both read this book recently. You found this one. It's Playing in Time and Space by Richard Dawes.
Oh, so good.
So good. So Richard Dawes is one of those woo, 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 I mean, out there kind of authors. And we've read many of his books.
Based in quantum physics. It's not that woo. So,
right. Let's be clear. It's very woo, but it's very real.
Yeah.
And I read this one, you recommended it, and I thought, out of all of his books, I'm thinking that was probably my favorite. And the thing is, much of it we've heard before, but I don't know, the way he presented it in that book just really clicked with me.
Yeah, I loved it.
That was a good one. Okay, and then finally, I am finishing up right now, The Mountain Is You by Brianna Wiest, and this is a book about self-sabotage.
Let
me tell you something, my friend. You are one of the most like busiest, best entrepreneurs, go get it, nothing holds you back person I know. But all of us self-sabotage.
Oh, I got some self-sabotage going on.
Do you know what it is or what?
Well, I sometimes, and this could be the, you know, the shadow side of being an entrepreneur that has 8,000 ideas, is I love to start projects. I don't really love to finish them.
Yes.
So, you know, there's definitely ways like that. I mean, we've talked about the self-sabotage of just not making offers, not marketing, because I don't know, I'm saving for a rainy day. I'm like, okay, like what? And you know, and some of that I think does go back. We've talked about this before too, how it just goes back to past experiences. And, you know, my dad was involved in the mortgage industry when like 08 happened. So, you know, there's some fake beliefs that get created there. Just all sorts of crazy.
And you also like to save things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I have this great idea, but I'm gonna do that in the fall.
Right. Which, and part of it is, it's this fine line of me learning to, I can't say yes to everything at once.
Yes.
Because I do have a bad habit of like, oh yeah, I can do 37 projects, like giant projects all at the same time. And then I'm just constantly context switching and trying to figure out which project is, which is feel like I, where I am kind of actually right now at this very moment in time. So I do need to learn to actually slot things in more, but I'm also super guilty at that. What is it? It's an actual like principle, Pareto principle, maybe, that like however much time I have is how much time I'm going to fill.
It will fill the time allotted.
So when I don't have pressing deadlines, I'm really not productive at all.
Right. You can't get it done because there's no reason to.
Right. Exactly. It's like, well, I mean, and the part that makes me mad is I'll sit at my desk all day, not really getting things done, where I just be like, if I wanted to just take the day off, just take the damn day off.
Yeah, right.
You know, right. Like, and then I get more mad. And so anyway, I have a few self-sabotaging behaviors is what that comes down to.
Okay. You should definitely check out this book. But the interesting thing is I was listening to you is that our issue of self-sabotage is almost the opposite. So you have all of these ideas, you have many irons and many fires and a lot of things going on and you're really excited about them. I actually tend to not put enough How shall I say this? Like I limit myself to one or two projects. I have 55,000 ideas. Okay. Mm-hmm, let's be clear, but I'll only allow myself like in a certain time period to focus on this one thing. So what I'm doing is I've created a new affirmation and I say it every day. I am increasing my capacity for complexity.
Oh,
I say this repeat. I am increasing. Sometimes I shorten it and I say, I'm increasing my capacity. I'm increasing my capacity. Sometimes I add the complexity part because what I would do is I would dumb myself down to make it easier so that it, you know, so it wouldn't be hard. I mean, I guess that's all right. Human nature. And, but I wasn't, I'm one of those people who can only have one big thing scheduled a day or maybe a week. Like if I have something really big going on, a big event, I'll be like, well, I don't want to schedule anything else major that week because I want to focus on that one thing.
You're smart where I'm like, oh, there's an hour I can squeeze that in. And then, I shoot myself in the foot later and I'm like, why did I do this?
So that's so funny. We have this, it's like this, it's the opposite side of the same coin where you need to like maybe pull back. I need to lean in. I need to say, I can schedule a workshop this evening and then do another major teaching call, you know, the next day or something. I don't know. But I would be like, oh, I can't do it that week because I already have this one thing or these two things. So I'm saying I'm increasing my capacity for complexity. Now, the reason I pulled back on my capacity was because when you get too busy, read crazy, I worry that I'm going to start making mistakes. Like I'm going to miss something or screw something up. But then I ask myself, well, what are the real consequences of that? You know,
I can tell you I make those mistakes all the time. It's really not a big deal. And especially when you like tell your team, hey, I'm going to make all sorts of mistakes. So please look out for me.
Somebody protect me from myself.
I actually am not allowed to send emails anymore. Like Liz has forbade me from sending emails because I like miss a link or this or that. And then she has to clean up the mess.
Right.
She's like, how about you don't do that anymore? I'm like, yeah, you're right. Okay. I'm not allowed.
That's really funny. Okay, good. All right. So that was the book. Okay. Moving on to the tool. Have you worked with any new tools lately that you enjoy?
It's not a new tool, but I'm using an old tool in a new way.
Is that right? Tell me more.
And actually, this is hysterical because this is how you and I are basically, I don't know, connected at a much deeper level than just like normal friends, is that you posted your inbox zero on somewhere on Facebook in like your group or something.
I did.
And I was like, huh. That's interesting. I set my inbox up like that the day before without ever talking to you about any of it, like in
That's
the
crazy.
Exact same manner. So you guys know Gmail, like I have my domain emails, but they all run through Gmail and they have this thing called separate inboxes. So I've tried this in the past where I had like a to respond or like education to watch, like different things to kind of sort my just giant inbox. Cause I try to keep it down. Like, my goal, I can't get to zero. My goal is to keep it less than 50. And actually, you know, it's gotten down. Right now, I'm just working out of a backlog from being away for so long and being really unavailable to keep up with it. But usually, it'll be like under 20 in there. And now that I have this new system, that usually fits in the system. So I would have that main and I'd have the to respond or, you know, other things. But I only had it set up as like my main inbox on the top and those underneath. So then they got hidden and then I forgot about it. Or if I had it on top, my to respond will get too long. And then I couldn't see what the inbox was. And it wasn't working for me. So I would always quit. And then I was just playing around with it. I think I was actually on the plane flying home trying to like get a handle on my inbox. And I was like, this has got to stop. And so I was trying to set it up again and playing around in there, and realized you can set them up in columns.
Yes.
So I have my main inbox on the left, and on the right, I have my to respond and to reference, which you can expand or close.
It's exactly what I did. My categories, I have three categories. One is the first urgent one is follow up, like this, something requires my attention.
Yep.
The second one is read through. That's like you were referencing education, something I want to look at. And the last one is waiting, meaning I'm waiting for a response from them.
Ooh, okay.
So that's so funny that you did that. Wow, we are 100% on the same wavelength. That is crazy and awesome. So what I did last week when we were both setting these things up unbeknownst to one another... is I taught a training inside of the Flourish Academy membership on Inbox Zero. Now, I have had varying degrees of success with Inbox Zero over the years. I would find a new method. I would try. It would work for a little while. I'd fall off the wagon. Then I'd try something else. And that, you know, like you were saying, it just never quite fit for me. So I tried this new way, which are the columns and the three inboxes, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I taught it in the membership. So I thought, right before we jumped on this call, I thought, you know what, I'm going to grab that training and offer it to your audience. So if you go to, it's free. If you go to flourish.academy/inbox, it will take you to the video where I taught my method, which turns out to be Nicole's also. I didn't know that. Our method for achieving inbox zero. And my goal is definitely zero. And it has been, since I implemented this, it has been at zero every single day consistently, which tells me I found something that's working. Now, if the inboxes that Nicole shared or I share don't work for you, you obviously have to adapt them. But make sure you check that out. We'll have that link in the show notes. It's flourish.academy/inbox. It's just a really quick training on how I set it up because... and I did it for Gmail, but I'm certain that you can do it for most applications, that they have different types of labels and inbox organization. But there are some settings that you have to select. And listen, I actually, Nicole, I want you to watch some of this training on the keyboard shortcut. Ooh. And how I go through my inbox. You are going to die when you see the way I do. So, and I teach it all in that training. So definitely check that out. I would say that that's one of my top tools as well is Inbox Zero. But I also want to mention while we're here, I'm using something called Alfred, which is automation for the Mac. So Apple in the Mac, there is built-in automations. There's the little robot guy, you know, he has his little automation thing. And that can do some really cool things. But I started watching some YouTube videos on Alfred and I've been using it for a couple of weeks and I am loving how I can, let me give you an example. When I go to launch an application like Lightroom or Photoshop, I would typically go down and click the application to launch it.
Right.
No, ma'am. So what I do now is I press Command Space, which is the keyboard shortcut that I assigned to Alfred. Now, Command Space is also search on a Mac, so I replaced it because this is my new search tool. Okay, I press Command Space. I start to type Photoshop, and it's all I need to get is the first three letters actually on my system. So P-H-O, it comes up, I hit Enter. So Command Space, P-H-O, Enter is faster than moving your mouse and dragging out. Lightroom, Command Space.
Or it's going to find your applications folder if you don't have it like on the toolbar.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So I've been using Alfred that way. I've talked in the past about not having Facebook newsfeed. So we both use something called Newsfeed Eradicator for Chrome, so we don't see it. But what I found myself doing, okay, listen, this is where I reach like freak level status. We eradicated our newsfeed. We go to Facebook to go to our groups, depending. Right. And so I would go to Facebook and then I'd have to click to go to my groups. And I would always check out, you know, Elevate, the big community group and the membership. Well, if that's where I go and I'm clicking and I'm typing, that's taking seconds of my life that I will never get back. Okay, I'm going to be dead in my grave.
Right.
So I created a workflow in Alfred. When I press Shift F3, it's just what I assigned it, Alfred will launch three tabs in Chrome for Elevate, the membership, and the community group.
I love it. So I've always had a Chrome You know, you can do bookmarks on Chrome. Well, I discovered like a year or so ago that you can have folders. So I just had a folder up there, a Facebook group. So I could just go straight to whatever I wanted. And so then I have like a finance one and just the ones that I use every day, I just have on the main browser, but the others are in folders. Yeah, but I like this. Well, hold on. I just pulled up Alfred's website.
Yeah.
They have a clipboard history.
Oh, brace yourself. Okay. Can we just sit down for a second?
I'm sitting.
The clipboard history, I find my life to be copying, pasting links to various people.
Constant
clipping. Okay. So I set Alfred up to be, so Command C is still copy for me. Command V is paste, but Command Shift V, I can't remember what keyboard shortcut I set up to open up the Alfred clipboard browser, which has everything I've copied for the last months, right? But Nicole, I assigned all of these keyboard shortcuts into the buttons on the side of my brand new mouse.
Oh.
So I'm not even using the keyboard to do that. I am clicking the button. I got this Logitech G305, which is technically like a gaming mouse, and to experiment. And now I'm already ready for the next version.
No trackpad for you. I mean, I use my Wacom tablet, I think, more for almost everything. But I have my trackpad, my Wacom pad tablet, and my keyboard, like, all right here.
No trackpad. My command center. But if you're using your stylus or your Wacom tablet, you could just as easy program these keyboard shortcuts into the stylus. So I click this, and my Alfred, I'm pointing to the button on my mouse, on the side of my mouse, my Alfred clipboard viewer will come up, and I just grab it. And then the other button is paste. So then I just paste it. But there's no keyboard interaction at that point. That's just like all okay. Bookmarks. You were talking about bookmarks. I created a shortcut in Alfred. So I press Command Space to activate Alfred. And then I type BN for bookmark. And then whatever I start to type, it's only searching my bookmarks. So I've bookmarked, obviously, we spend a lot of time in Kajabi. A lot. I have multiple Kajabi tabs open. So if I Command Space BMKA and enter, Kajabi will open for me.
No.
So all of those bookmarks are searchable, but you don't want to search your entire system. You only want to search the bookmarks folder. So you tell Alfred, I'll give it a keyboard shortcut of BM and only search my bookmarks folder when I type that keyword in. One more example. I do a lot of searches on YouTube because I love to watch productivity channels and I just geek out on this stuff. So what happens is during lunch, I allow myself the freedom to watch productivity videos on YouTube. Okay, it's hilarious. Well, I would go to YouTube and I would see my feed and I was like, wait, Johnny Depp's on trial? Like, what is happening? I don't know about pop culture things because I tend to stay away from it, but I would get caught up in these YouTube suggestions. I set up Alfred so that I press Command Space. I press YT for YouTube. Anything I type after that, it will search. So if I type Command Space YT and then I type Alfred, like I want to learn more about Alfred productivity, and I hit enter, it will search YouTube for that and then return the results to me in a new tab in Chrome. So I'm not,
you told me about Alfred and I'm now sold. Before I was like, I don't know. It's pretty
seconds
sweet.
Of time. And now, okay, it's going to take you. And then when you watch my email training, you'll see like I'm really, really nutso about the keyboard shortcuts. It takes a minute to memorize them, you know, and muscle memory and all that. But once you do, you actually will have to install this on your MacBook Pro as well because you get so used to going to these things in this way. Another thing I did with Alfred is I programmed, there's two buttons on the top of this mouse I got. So the scroll wheel button takes me to the next tab in Chrome, but the button below it, guess what it does? It activates Command Shift 4, which is grab a screenshot.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Isn't that amazing? So I just click it, that comes up, I drag, and so the point is the tools, I'm all over the tools. I have my eyes on some like really next level stuff that will require a training. I've talked to you about this privately, but this is the same way I trick out my Wacom tablet. Like, could I get a set of macro keys? And yes, I can. And then I can assign them. And then I'm just I'm just not wasting my life away anymore on this mouse. I'm just not doing it. Life is too short.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it so much.
So the new mouse and Alfred was my answer to that question.
I love it. I love it. That's all right. That was a good rabbit hole.
Lastly, we have Frog. And when I say lastly, I don't mean in this episode, because we have a lot more to talk about. I just mean for this model, IBTF. The Frog is, what are you working on that is like your, and by the way, this could be a big project or this could be a small project, but what is your Frog? What are you procrastinating on that you need to work on?
Okay, this is easy too. And it's not because I'm not excited. So like often the procrastination occurs because we don't know what to do next, or we're scared of what will happen for it or the outcome for it. So this is nothing about, or like we just don't want to do it. It's not enjoyable. It's none of those. This was just, I have other things going on. I'm like, oh, that can wait. That can wait. That can wait until it gets to the critical point where I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait anymore. And there was a decision to be made. So much like clutter, sitting over here, this pile of things that's been sitting on my windowsill for 6 months because it doesn't have a home, is just a decision to be made.
Oh, that's it.
The only reason I haven't moved forward with my Frog, which is starting to book speakers for the Hair of the Dog Summit, which, by the way, is coming up September 13th through 15th, 2022. Jump on over to www.petphotographysummit.com to jump on the wait list. Anyway, it's coming then. I announced the date. I've got to get it done. Yes. So I need to start booking speakers. But the reason I was procrastinating is, like I said, I had other stuff going on, but I also was unsure if I was going to do a craft only summit or a craft and business or just craft only and a business one later. And I was just going round and round and round until I finally just said, make a freaking decision.
Right.
And so that decision is we're going to have some focused days. So there'll be like a craft day and a business day and a third day that I'm not sure what yet.
Oh, I love what you did there. Let's not bypass that. It was really smart. You knew that the reason you were procrastinating was because there was a decision. A, you recognize that. Super skillful at that. B, what you said, whether you knew it or not, was how can I make this work for all of these things? Mm-hmm. So you, at first, the decision was, should I do this or?
Right.
Or that. So it was an either or decision and you couldn't decide because you know yourself, you wanted to do both or all. So then you reframed it into how can I make this work? And you did it. That's how you came. So there was there were two parts to that were really mm-hmm. critical. Number one, why am I procrastinating? Oh, there's a decision in these. What is the decision? Am I making it a black and white decision? How can it be both? Good. That was really good.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Fine. Yeah. So it'll okay. get done. So yeah, well, it'll be coming. All right, go ahead. What's next? Frog. What's your Frog?
Oh, my Frog. You know, it's so funny. It's like you're in my head. You said, it's not that I don't want to do these things. Sometimes our Frogs are not great. There are things that we don't want to do. Okay. I got to tell you.
Taxes.
Yes, taxes. Very good. Yeah. But as I was thinking about most of my Frogs, I'd like to say that all of my Frogs are deep fried. And what I mean by that is they're all good.
I like my Frogs. I've never had a frog.
Oh, very good. Deep, yeah, fried legs.
I mean, anything's good if you fry it.
Yeah, true. It needs some dip. Yeah. So that's how I look. I love my Frogs and everything, you know, and you're like this as well. We love what we do.
Right.
So it's usually not a matter of I don't want to do it. It's how do I prioritize or where's the decision point, you know? So, and I also want to say to that, I think that in your business, you should always have at least one Frog. At least. If you can't come up with a Frog right now, as you're listening to this, we've got an issue because it means you're not taking action.
Mm-hmm.
You should always have at least one Frog. So my Frogs, I had a few small ones about some new workshops that I was working on. Okay. They weren't small. They were pretty big. I pushed through that, figured that out. And my current, I would say big Frog is something really exciting that you and I are working on, which is a new coaching program for Hair of the Dog. So that's a big Frog. We're working through details and I love that Frog that we are working on, but it's big and it has a lot of components. So
hence the summit too. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts.
Right. So the Frog, you know, and this leads perfectly into something else I've been inspired by. I've been teaching this in my Elevate and I was working with one of our elevators and he said, look around at your desk. Everything in front of you is very solid and hard edge. Like everything tactile around you is hard. And I think that we need something soft in our workspace. So he bought this like little stuffed animal that he named. It sits on his desk. I thought that was really a cute idea. I was so inspired by that. I was at Five Below recently with my daughter, and I'm showing Nicole this on the video, but I found a squishy frog. It's a frog. It's squishy. You squish it. It has like little frog eggs. It's like one of those stress toys. But it's sitting on my desk and he's smiling. And also, I can flip his hat so he can go on an adventure.
Oh, I didn't know he had a hat.
Yeah, it's a hat. It's really, really cute. And I have it sitting here to remind me, like, what is your frog? You love your frog. Heather, don't forget, you love your frog. Because, you know, sometimes I can get into the complaining, like, I have so much to do. But you love your frog. It's sitting here. It's soft. I can, like, squish it. And so I was really inspired by that. And I went on Amazon and I found these, like, bulk little miniature, like, you know, 20 miniature frogs. I think we should start buying them and giving them out to people.
I too. I like it. I like, like it.
These little frogs. So that's my frog. Okay. Now that we've covered that model and we went through each one of them, what else are you thinking about or working on that would maybe fall into some of these categories? And the reason I'm asking you this is because I believe, well, I just said you should always have a frog, mm-hmm. but I also think you should always be aiming at something. You should aim at something and you should discipline yourself to aim at more things. Otherwise, well, you could suffer the consequences of not doing anything, which is not
going
well.
I don't have to worry about that one.
You don't. You don't.
I mean, I could tell you right now, I'm basically like ready to totally, I have to revamp my pricing in my photography side of my business. Get the Conservation Fund website up and running because we have a super exciting opportunity to raise a lot of money for that coming up this fall.
That's a big frog.
Yeah. That's a huge frog. Got to get it done. I have the summit. I have all of just, you know, the hair of the dog stuff going on. Oh gosh, there was some other big thing that I can't even think of right now.
Well, our new coaching program, that's a big thing.
Yeah. You're coming to visit. Got to prepare for that.
That's right. I get so excited when I think about that. Sometimes I forget and then I remember and I get real happy. Yeah.
No, there's just a lot of things. So I've actually found, kind of wrapping up with the tools, one of the other tools that I love is Tweak, which is a free, I pay $36 a year so I can have the color coding because I have standards. but it's basically a to-do app, you know, because I use my iCal as my main like calendar. So my Calendly, like when clients schedule calls, they all get pulled in into my main iCal. But then that's overwhelming to look at for the week. So I actually like to use Tweak. It is just like white with like the days in lines. Like it is so minimalistic and simple. I can put in my appointments and I also put in my frog basically for the day of like, these are my big things that I'm getting done. And then underneath you can have, and it's just the week. And then you go to the next week and it's just that week. And then underneath you can have additional columns. So I basically have a column of all these different projects like Conservation Fund, Elevate, the Academy. Oh, that was my other giant frog. I have this idea of how to totally revamp all the content in the Academy and some of it needs to be recorded really, really badly. It's been a while and that's a huge project and I'm so excited for it. I just need like three clones of myself. and then like my photography business and like all these different sections. So it can have, I can have one column that just lists all those things and then you click on it and it opens up with like subtasks. So then I can kind of just keep track of, all right, hey, today I'm sitting and working on the Conservation Fund this morning. So I can open that up and be like, this is what needs to get done. And so I found that's been really helpful. And then actually scheduling in my calendar chunks of time to work on these different projects. Because before, and what I still get guilty of, is waiting until I have that week. And I'm like looking at the week and I'm like, all right, now where can I fit in the time?
Right.
Never. It'll never get done. So I actually have to block off like a morning or an afternoon on these different projects. And I would like to go a step further and actually write out like a weekly schedule of like, hey, this is the stuff that needs to happen every week. And here's my admin time. So like that's my admin. And then Thursday is like call day and like recording day because I go to the barn in the morning and shower. Although actually the summer I could be camera ready more regularly because I ride in the morning more often because it's hot.
Oh, right.
Winter, good. Never camera ready except on Thursdays because I ride in the morning.
Okay.
But anyway, long story short. But actually just scheduling a calendar of like, all right, these are the days I usually do recordings or calls. These are the days that I'm doing like deep work content creation. These are the days that I'm doing, you know, marketing stuff. This is a photography day because otherwise it just becomes really overwhelming that I have so many freaking projects, but I'm not willing to give any of them up.
Well, so what you're describing here is setting some boundaries in containers where, yeah, you do, which will give you the structure you need to get things done. So a couple of things about that is, will you spell that tool tweak? Did you say?
Yeah. TWEEK.
Okay.
Dot,
tweak.
SO.
Okay. Tweak.so. I'll definitely take a look at that. But right before we jumped on this call, it was lunchtime, which remember, that's when I allow myself to watch productivity shows on YouTube. And I was learning more about Google Keep. Have you heard of Google Keep?
I have heard. I've not used it, but I have heard of it.
Yeah. So it sounds similar to what you're describing. So I think I might implement it. But I'm also surprised that you use iCal and not Google Calendar.
I hate. Strong word, I know. Google interface, but I'm so used to Gmail that I live with it. I despise Google Drive. I despise Google Calendar, like with the hatred of a thousand suns.
Okay. That's extreme. Okay. That's it. Like, that's how you talk when you talk about fruit, and I don't appreciate it. So I will say that Google Drive is very clunky, which is why you need the desktop version on your Mac so that you're not in Google Drive. Like, it does not look the same. So it can integrated in Finder. So, okay.
Maybe I won't hate it with a thousand suns, yes, just 100.
Yes.
Okay.
And Google Calendar, it's just so powerful and integrated. So, you know, if you're using Gmail and Google Keep and Calendar and Drive, I mean,
you might as well just go Android.
That's hilarious. That
and
is
then,
really
then
funny.
You're going down the PC world. This is a slippery slope.
It's the gateway, right? Okay. But I'm talking about productivity and efficiency. I've also been exploring something called Notion to handle tasks, but I haven't gotten into it yet.
I saw ads for that. I've been using Tweak for months and I love it.
Yeah, okay.
It works. It's a system that works for me.
That's it.
Because I still want to plan it and see it. And like, it helps me. Part of my weekly ritual is Sunday night or whatever the first, like last weekend night of the week is. I like to sit down that day and just put my calendar in for the week and just plot it out just so I can kind of see before I start my Monday morning of like, what's my week looking like? What meetings do I have? Like, what do I have scheduled? So this just works really, really well for me.
That's the key. If you find a tool that works for you, because years ago I tried Evernote and I just couldn't stick with it. And I had a lot of friends in the productivity space that loved it. And I was just like, this is just not working for me. I actually print my week from Google Calendar and I have it here. So I'm just constantly looking at it to remind myself of what's coming up and what I have going on. So the key is that it has to work for you. But something really neat about Keep, that I learned today was it has location-based reminders.
No, so does iCal.
Is that right? So if you show up at Walmart, it's like, hey, don't forget the toilet paper or whatever it is. Yep. Yeah. Okay. That's fair enough. I love that though. So it tells me like when you pull into some place, if you have location services turned on, it will remind you of things. I'm just always looking for small ways to improve my productivity. Like if you're looking for some big hack to make everything faster, that's just not how this works.
Right.
There are a series of small decisions that lead up to like what I call ninja status, which I am for sure at. And I love it. I love just like tiny ways like the mouse. I just got the new mouse because I wanted as many programmable keys as possible so that I could do different things with it. You know, using, I'm taking some training on Alfred. Oh, another thing about this. I went on YouTube, searched for Alfred hacks, watched a ton of videos, implemented everything I could. I still had some confusion over some of the automated workflows that get into scripts and stuff. So I was like, well, I'm just going to find a class and I'm going to pay to take a class.
Yeah, right.
So it takes me step by step instead of this rabbit hole of YouTube videos. So I'm planning to do that. Also, Tool, I wanted to ask you, our mutual friend Valerie sent me this recently. Have you heard of Filter Pixel? It is exclusively for photo culling. It says photo culling in a click, from a tedious and tiring culling process to a faster and smarter workflow. It uses, wait for this, and she told AI? Me about it. Yep.
I've heard of, I didn't know what the title is. It might be a different version. But I've heard it was like some wedding portrait, human photographers have been raving about it, that they tested it and they're like, it was pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's what she said. Because when you take, well, you do this with pets as well, you know, you take several shots of the same image and then you have to call that, which is a huge pain.
Not really the way I do it, because I'm pretty darn brutal. And if there's one thing I can do, it's make a decision really fast.
Yeah, snap.
So
yeah,
I'm really quick at calling, but I would rather just like, boop. Press a button, walk away, let it do it, and then go back and just double check and then look at the ones that it didn't pick and make sure there was nothing great that they missed.
Yeah, that's exactly what Valerie did. And she said it actually worked really well. So I have yet to test it. It's on my list of
Focus Pixel.
Yeah. Photo. Wait, let me make sure. Filter Pixel.
Filter Pixel.
Filter Pixel.
All right, you guys, we're going to test it out. We'll get back to you.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of calling to do from like 7 or 8 shoots in Scotland.
I bet you do.
So
holy smokes.
I think I might just give that a try.
I think that would be a great thing to test for you.
Quite a few of them are panoramics and it won't understand that. So I'll have to manually do that one.
You would think though, when it sees those, that it wouldn't reject them though.
Who knows?
Because they're different.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have to change my whole workflow because if it rejects.
I'm wondering if the AI is looking at photos in a series that are very similar and picking the one that's in focus, for instance.
Yeah, right.
Huh. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, that's great. And I think let's test it and see how it works. I mean, the problem with AI is it can't think. Okay,
it ends up taking over the world in every movie that I've ever seen.
And then what's left of us, who knows? Who knows?
Trouble.
Okay, so you know how I would like to end this is I would like to challenge everyone listening. We shared a lot of things that are inspiring us. We've shared books.
Can I share one more way for people to achieve ninja status? It's to go back to my episode number 136, The Key to Increasing Wealth. It is just mine because I have ninja'd my way to never having to pay a bill again.
Yes.
Ever. Yeah,
that's good.
And always knowing that I have money in my account to cover said automated bill pays. I'll just leave it at that. Go listen to
it. It was like a mic drop. You should have seen her face. It was like, well, that's brilliant. And that's all that needs to be said. It's true. No, that's great. You know, we talk about all of these different things, though, and I can see where that sometimes it's overwhelming, but I wonder if you're listening, you could just take one thing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that you heard, one tool, one recommendation that really interested you, and write it down and then look into it or do some more research. I'm actually thinking, and Nicole, we certainly need to discuss this offline, is how can we put together a training just, you know, really high level, basic, off the cuff of the productivity hacks I'm using currently, a productivity training. We can talk about that, whether that's in the podcast or in the academy. But my favorite thing to do is learn these things. And the minute I learn something, I think, oh, I can't wait to share this with everyone. I can't wait to teach it. Like, even though I learned it 5 minutes ago, I'm so excited to share it because I think it can help people. I think it can change some things about the way you look at email, for instance. I will say this about email. There are people out there, you may be one of them, that has 8,000, 10,000, 30,000 unread emails.
Oh.
Nothing good comes from chaos. And you are missing out on opportunities because you are leaving loose ends. Nothing good comes from chaos. So it's not a judgment. I would just encourage you to clean it up, wipe it out. Start anew if you need to.
At the very least, take all those unread, put them in a folder.
Yes.
Clean out the clutter of the inbox. So you're not like making a permanent decision of like, oh, I deleted something that's really important. Or like, if you're not going to go through it all because you've gotten to like 10,000 emails, just put it in a folder. You still have it. You can still search for it.
Yeah, get it out of the way. You know what else you can do? There's an advanced search in Gmail where you can say, show me all of the emails from 2011 and earlier.
Yeah, right.
If you haven't read something from 2011, I promise you, you don't need it. So I actually did this. I searched for unread from a certain date and then, you know, earlier than that. And I just selected them all and deleted them.
No. Because there's just that's not a good way. My email is getting really full. I need to go call do some that. Things.
So, I mean, there's no, Nicole, I looked at my email last week. I had wedding correspondence from clients from 2011.
Right. Right.
There's just no need for that. I mean, clearly. So, or I had even some promotional emails that I just missed in terms of deleting or spam or whatever. You know, messages from Pinterest from 2007.
Yeah, it might be important.
I might miss something. So I just use those advanced filters and you can search and set some criteria and then select all and delete. And it's actually really helpful. But you would be surprised at what happens in your life because, again, one good decision of cleaning something up compounds into other good decisions. All of a sudden, you know, you clean out your email inbox and then you lose 5 pounds. And you might think those aren't related, but I believe that they are because good decisions in one area lead to good decisions in another area.
Pause, please. I'm going to go clean out my inbox right now. I was just a bartender with a private chef. Who made dessert for lunch and dinner every day.
See, I will never say no to that. I will eat that because I would say to myself.
Life is short, Heather. I mean, you just got to enjoy the moment.
That's right. It's a limit and it's not something you're going to continue for the rest of your life. Okay. So it's just a very temporary season, if you will, that week. And then, you can worry about it later.
Back to that inbox, though, like the one decision leads to more good decisions. I think also just as important is the mental space that affords you when you are no longer just fueled by, because even if you're not consciously thinking, oh my God, what's in this inbox? Every time you open it, your subconscious is like, oh my God, what is going on? Like, how can you expect to run a business when you can't even keep up with your email?
That's
like,
right.
It's not consciously, if you're consciously thinking about it, then okay, 100% you need to do that because your subconscious is even worse. But like all these thoughts are just going in and it's working against you getting to the goals that you want.
It is. I would argue that your inbox is like you open it up and it's like that. And it's like, hey, loser, you clearly can't take care of your life or manage anything. And you might not think that. Okay, logically, we know that's not true. But again, what you said is your subconscious is like, yeah, but you can't even manage this simple task.
Right.
So how can you manage anything else? So I really, if I could, you know, I asked everybody to pick one thing, but if I could encourage you to pick one thing, it would be to check out the video I have, flourish.academy/inbox. Just go there. It's free. Just watch the video. See if you can implement something and get that cleaned. I just think you will be shocked at what that does for your life.
And truly, just like cleaning up your office and then like 2 weeks later, it's back to the same. So once you do that, like what habit can you instill? Mm. You know, it doesn't have to be all of them, but like, is there something? Is there one thing that's like, all right, every day before I log off, I'm going to spend 5 minutes going through making sure things are where they are. You know, because that allows us to keep it. And then that changes the behavior, which changes our what's the logical levels? You know, the environment to the behavior to the actions, the beliefs, and to the identity eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, the identity. Because the identity of someone who looks at an email inbox with 11,000 unread messages, the identity is, I can't manage this. I'm not good at this. My life is chaotic. Again, it's not conscious, but that's what's happening. When I look at my inbox, I'm like, I'm a winner. I'm going to kill it. I'm open to opportunities because I can manage them. I just think you are missing out on opportunity. And I don't mean missing like because you literally missed an email. That's not what I mean. I mean that opportunities are not coming your way because of the chaos in your life. And if it's really, if I know there's somebody out there like rolling their eyes at me right now, I get it. I've been in seasons where it's gotten away from me, but if it's really that simple, like to create more, you know, wealth or abundance in your life, to create better relationships or better health, if it was as simple as cleaning out your email inbox, wouldn't you just at least try it? Like humor me and try it.
Amen.
That's it. That's all I've got.
I love it. I love it. All right, guys. Well, you have your homework. So let us know how it's going on Instagram at Nicole Bagley Official or at Flourish Academy. Keep us posted. And we will see you again soon. And I promise I will never, I'm raising my right hand, I will never ever make you all wait a whole entire quarter of a year to hear Heather again. What happened? That.
Thank you.
What
Thank
happened, you. Heather?
I don't know because I love being here. I love our discussions. You know, we geek out on this tech productivity stuff, and it's fantastic.
I love it. I love it. All right. More of that coming your way, everybody. But for now, have a great week. Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to the Hair of the Dog podcast. This was episode number 148. If you want to check out the show notes for access to any of the resources that we mentioned, simply go to www.hairofthedogacademy.com/148.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Hair of the Dog podcast. If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss our upcoming episodes. One last thing. If you are ready to dive into more resources, head over to our website at www.hairofthedogacademy.com. Thanks for being a part of this pet photography community.